Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you on this second day of October 2018. We are going to be continuing on with Dead Sea Scrolls, Chapter 7 of As It Is Translated Correctly. We're on Part 3. And like I always do, I post the texts to the Zion's Redemption bookstore page on Facebook to what we're reading today, as well as the video link and the radio show link. The radio show can be called, the phone number is, let me see here, check on the studio, 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We go for 30 minutes of live streaming on the radio show. You can also watch us on Facebook and YouTube. You can find my Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can find my YouTube page by searching Messiah Ben Joseph. And let's see. I think you can go or find my YouTube page also by looking up it's youtube.com/user/God is my compass, or just type in Messiah Ben Joseph or Mark Lichtenwalter. It's pretty easy to find me. The best place to find this, though, if you're watching on any of the forums, is to go to that Zion's Redemption bookstore page on Facebook. So, all right. So, shalom, everyone. Shalom aleichem, which means peace be upon you. And we will just get right into the reading today. Let's see, make sure I have everything up here. As for the priesthood, they shall be a seat of the Holy of Holies, inasmuch as all have that will have knowledge of the covenant of justice, and all of them be qualified to offer what will be indeed a pleasant savor to the Lord. Dead Sea Scriptures, Gaster, page 61. They are to extend for. I gotta fix this real quick. I feel. Bear with me. I updated my my user whatever software on the on my iPhone that I use here. And it reset everything. So I've got this Bluetooth keyboard here that I scroll down on, and I put the phone with the text on it right here by the camera so that I can read like this. So here we go. All right, let's see here. Just scroll down to where we were before. The 12 apostles and their 12 men of holiness who act as general guides of the community, a remarkable correspondence with the 12 apostles. These men have three superiors answering to the designation of John, Peter, and James as the three pillars of the church. Dead Sea Scriptures by Gaster, page 39. For the administrative purposes, there is also a kind of presbyterty. I don't even know what that word means. Huh, weird. Let's see. Consisting of three priests and 12 especially qualified laymen, these presbyteries, I guess, are known as the men of holiness. Dead Sea Scriptures, Gaster, page 11. New Testament. Where the 12 apostles are, the next tribal chiefs in the letter of James is addressed to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. So among the community and the tribal system corresponded to an ideal. Thus, the Supreme Council in the pre-Messianic age appears to have been formed by the 12 laymen and three priests. End quote. Dead Sea Scrolls in English, G. Verms, page 17 and 18. I noticed that today our our Facebook feed is having problems because of a low connection. I usually do these programs when all of the kids are gone and I can turn off all of the internet and all of the Netflix and all of the everything. And so I don't know why it's having problems today. But if you're having problems listening, you can always call in 917-889-8827. There are 100 phone lines available. I will not choose, or I will not bring you on the air unless you push 1. If you push 1, it brings up a question mark or an exclamation mark on the studio next to your name, and then I will bring you on at that point. You can also follow these on YouTube, which it seems like the YouTube account is actually not having any problems today. I don't know why the Facebook account. It says low network connection. Don't understand why that's happening. Anyway, the executive head of the party seems to have been a special council of 12 men and 3 priests, ideally representative of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 3 priestly families descended through the 3 sons of Levi. End quote. The Dead Sea Scrolls, Allegro, page 112, or on page 87 as it is translated correctly. Bishops, priests, and deacons. It has, as we have seen, been suggested also that the office of bishop in the church has its origins in the Qumran overseer. Quote, Dead Sea Scrolls, Allegro, page 163. So today, one man is bishop, and tomorrow another. The person who is a deacon today, tomorrow is a reader. The one who is a priest today is a layman tomorrow. For even on the laity, they impose the function of the priesthood. And quote the Gnostic Gospels by Pagels, page 51. The priests alone. You know, every time I get on these radio programs, I find it hard to breathe for some reason. And I'm pretty sure that this is some kind of attack spiritually. So I think I'm going to pray real quick, which I don't usually do on the radio. I usually pray before the radio program. I used to pray on every single program when I was doing the Kingdom of God or Nothing, but I was doing 3-hour radio programs, not 30-minute or 45-minute or whatever radio programs. So, but you know what? Today I'm going to pray because I think I'm being attacked here. And if you'd all pray with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I ask thee, Father, this day to bless me and bless my home and the property that I'm on. And bless all the listeners that they might have thy spirit to be with them. I ask thee, Father, to remove any influences in this place of my dwelling that I might be able to read without hindrance in doing this work that thou hast called me to do. I ask thee, Father, for forgiveness of my sins and transgressions, as we all need forgiveness of our sins and our transgressions. I love thee, Father, very much, and I desire to see thy kingdom come on this earth and desire to teach thy saints. I ask for thy blessings to be upon me and upon all the listeners and watchers, and I do so in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. All right. Let's see here. The priests alone have authority in all judicial and economic matters. It is by their vote that the ranks of the various members of the community are to be determined. End quote. The Dead Sea Scrolls, Gallister, page 63. Literal descendants of Aaron as bishops. It is interesting to note that only the sons of Aaron were entitled to be the bishops of the community, and that there was a presiding bishop over all the bishops, end quote, CD and Q or 1QS, which is First Cave. That's a scroll that came out of the First Cave. End quote. Do you know what the Dead Sea Scrolls are? By Erickson, page 13. Excommunication. Furthermore, if any members of the council transgress the law of Moses, either deliberately or through negligence, he was expelled forthwith, and none of his former brethren were permitted to have any contact with him. End quote. Dead Sea Scrolls in English by Verms, pages 27 and 28. We are on page 88 of As It Is Translated Correctly, which you can watch or read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. Just click on Read Ogden's Books and then go to As It Is Translated Correctly. Once again, we're having problems with the Facebook feed today. So if anybody wants to listen, they can either do so by calling in 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. That is country code 011 if you're calling from overseas. Or you can watch on the YouTube page, youtube.com/user/ God is my compass, and then just click on the live stream that I am doing right now. Revelation from God. In the book of the hymns, I love that book, the faithful frequently declare that they stand in eternal congregations of God, hold direct converse with him, and share a lot of the holy beings. End quote, the Dead Sea Scriptures, Gaster, page 14. No priestcraft. At one time, they put novices in office. At another, persons bound by secular employment. End quote, the Gnostic Gospels, Pagels, page 51 and 52. The reward for the righteous. In the Manual of Discipline, it is said that if the community abide the prescribed rules, it will be a veritable temple of Jehovah, a true holy of holies, page 15. The members of the community style themselves the elect or the elect of Jehovah, and quote the Dead Sea Scroll or Scriptures by Gaster, page 14. The Manual of Discipline says that the faithful will receive a crown of glory. And Peter, James, and John, true, using a similar image, but in the Mandarin thought, the lustrous crown plays an extremely important role and is frequently mentioned in the hymns of the sect, end quote, Dead Sea Scriptures by Gaster, page 21 and 22. United Order in the Dead Sea Scrolls. All goods and wages are placed in a common pool. So in the scriptures, in the Brit Hadashah of the New Testament, when it talks in the book of Acts that they had all things in common, that is a thing. That's the United Order. That is the law of consecration. Everybody helped each other out. They lived in communities, not scattered like Satan wants us to be scattered, you know, all over the place. And God wants us to be in communities and to be a light to the world from a community standpoint. Anyway, but these people had all things in common, a common pool administered by an overseer, which would be a bishop, or a superintendent. A similar office presided over the allocation of communal tasks and duties. Page 89 of As It Is Translated Correctly. Members of the community dine together, the food being first blessed by the priest. Everyone sits in order or rank or class. They also meet together regular for prayer and study, which is what the, you know, United Order is supposed to be all about, right? So why aren't we doing it? I don't understand. Like, God wants us to do these things. But anyway, continuing, that was from the Dead Sea Scriptures by Gaster, page 11 and 12. Sacrament. When they set the table for a meal or prepare wine to drink, the priest is first to put forth his hand to invoke a blessing upon the first portions of the bread and wine. Now, everybody thinks that Jesus is the one instituted this. I don't believe he did. Was the first one to institute it. I do believe that there is something that he did do, but Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who is Shem, the Melchizedek, the priest, the high priest and king of God, Shem, according to the book of Japheth, he broke bread with Abraham, and Abraham paid him tithes. So I know there's a whole thing in the New Testament that talks about how Melchizedek has neither father or mother and is without beginning of days or end of years. This is the priesthood of God, not a person. There was a person who was called the Melchizedek, or the king of righteousness, or a king and a priest over or for God. His name was Shem, and he was the son of Noah, or Noah. That, in the book of Japheth, which Joseph Smith taught was a good book, which we already talked about in earlier episodes, we know that Melchizedek is Shem, that the Melchizedek is Shem. So, anyway, continuing, the priest are to occupy the first place, the elders are to come second, and the rest of the people are to take their places according to their prospective ranks. End quote. The Dead Sea Scriptures, Gaster, page 54 and 55. Actually, when God told me to start doing what I'm doing now, he shared with me how he wanted United Orders to be, and how he wants it to be is he wants there to be a branch. I can't remember. I have it all written down. I received this in 2013, and it's been a while since I've looked at it. But he wants us to be in branches with a branch president under the direction of a ward bishop. So you've got like five branches that compile a ward, or maybe it was seven. I don't know. Anyway, and then those branches, they eat together. They work together. They have their stewardships and their families all in you know, and like, so if you've got a branch that is in charge of a lumber mill to make houses, you know, or whatever, they contribute everything to the bishop's storehouse at the ward level. And so you've got several wards or several branches within a ward that are grouped together, their homes are grouped together, and they all contribute, they all eat together, they get, so you might have one of the branches that is dairy, you know, they raise cattle for meat and for dairy, and so they contribute their meat and dairy to the bishop's storehouse in the ward, and then you might have another two branches, one of them might be in charge of creating the hay, or like growing hay for the cattle, for the dairy, you know, and another one might be in charge of something else. And when all of these come into this ward, and you've got the bishop's storehouse, and then any excess in the bishop's storehouse goes to a steak storehouse, where all of these branches and wards are all bringing it into this distribution center, and then the bishops go and they bring stuff back to their bishop's storehouse from the overabundance of the other storehouses so that there is a distribution of food and clothing and property. And you might have one stake that is over fixing cars, and there might be one, not stake, but a ward or whatever that might go around and might build houses and do repairs in that nature. And they are all taken care of. You know, and but it's families. It's like groups of 12 families in a branch, and then a branch would be part of a ward. So you would have people meeting together in the branches, but then you would also have people meeting together in the ward, and the bishop would be over the branch presidents of his ward, and the stakes would be over the bishops who are over the branch presidents, and then you've got your areas and stuff like that. And this is how God desires that we have these communities. But if nobody's willing to do it, then of course, like, God can desire all he wants, and we're going to be disobedient, because we have been asked to live the law of consecration, and we all covenant in the temples to live this law, but nobody lives it. which is unfortunate. And in the Doctrine and Covenants, it says, it is not given for one man to own that which is above another, wherefore the whole world lieth in sin. And if you will be a Zion people, you must be equal in all things. Well, in our Babylonian system, we're not equal in all things. There are those who are more well off than others, you know, and the wealth is distributed to the communities to help people be able to help each other. I mean, if people are going to be lazy and expect welfare, they can be in Babylon all they want, because the slothful will not wear the garment of the laborer, according to the Brit Hadashah, right? But God wants us to take care of each other in communities, and they did that in Qumran. And God asked us to do it in this end time as well through the Doctrine and Covenants, but people just refuse. So the few United Orders that I have seen, you get these priestcrafters up there that want to control the people, like the All Red group, or no, what's it called? It's not the All Red. Well, there's a lot of All Reds in it. The AUB, they are an LDS Brighamite breakoff, and they do have United Orders, and I've been invited to them. And I've also, in the same meeting that I was invited to be, wanted to show me their United Order. So I was like, oh, that's great. You know, and then they're complaining about, how dare anybody want to have dances and this kind of stuff. And it's like, listen, this is priestcraft. Like, God, why are you going to condemn David for dancing before the Lord? Are you going to condemn Brigham Young for creating a community, plays and dances and all these type of things? They did that going across the plains. They did it in Nauvoo. But these guys, one of the council members from the Bluffdale AUB group came down, and he was scolding the members for wanting to have dances. Seriously, like, are you serious? Are you going to think you can control? Like, you don't even claim to be an apostle. Are you getting revelation, or is this just your stick up your butt kind of crap that comes with priestcraft? It makes me sick, you know. Like, in a United Order, they would have community get-togethers and dances and, you know, like, enjoy each other's company, not be yelled at by the leaders all the time about how horrible everybody is for wanting to have a little bit of fun. Anyway, that's my two cents about that. The preexistence. All that is and ever was comes from a God of knowledge. Before things came into existence, he determined the plan of them, and when they fill their appointed roles, it is in accordance with his glorious designs that they discharge their functions. Now, this God created man to rule the world and appointed for him two spirits after whose direction he was to walk until the final inquisition. It is God that created the spirits. It is God that created the spirits in light and darkness and made them the basis of every act, the instigator of every deed, and the directors of every thought. The one he loves to all eternity and is ever pleased with its deeds, but any association with the other he abhors and he hates all its way to the end of time. And quote Dead Sea Scrolls by Gaster, page 44 or 48 and 49. We're on page 90 of As It Is Translated Correctly. Degrees of glory in heaven. A few of the texts describe. Actually, I wanted to say something about preexistence. There is a really good book on OgdenCrack.com called Preexistence. I would urge you to go take a look at it, especially if you don't believe in the preexistence. What the preexistence is that our spirits came into this world that were already created beings from a former spirit world or a preexistence to this world. What I was shown in 2000 and I think it was like 2004 or 2005, is that we are all intelligences. and that we are all eternal, but when we became self-aware, we became spirits and we separated male and female, feminine and masculine. And at that point, we became self-aware, and that is what is considered the birth of the spirit, and that we have been in existence through eternity. But there was a point when we came in, when we became self-aware, and that when the feminine and masculine of our spirit separated, and you had a male and a female spirit. This is what I was shown. When Jeremiah is told by Jehovah, before you were in the womb, I knew thee. It wasn't that God was like, hey, I knew that I was going to create you this way. It was that he knew him personally because he existed before he was, Jeremiah or Yirmiyahu existed before he was in the womb. Because we are eternal beings. If people want to consider or want to continue on with this, well, God knew that he was going to create Jeremiah a certain way so that Jeremiah would do certain things. If God or if Jehovah created Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah in a way, in this way, which the Christian world wants to state, does that mean that God also creates criminals, rapists, and murderers to be the way that they are, and he knew them also before they were in the womb to be a certain way? No. This is unacceptable. Also, when Jesus or Yeshua was healing the man born blind, they wanted to know, did this man sin and that's why he was born blind? Or sin before, that's why? Like, okay, how do you sin before you're born? It's in the preexistence. Lucifer fell because of his pride and his arrogant sin and rejecting the plan of salvation, and he became Hasatan, or the accuser of the brethren. He sinned in his spiritual state before this earth was formed. So did the demons. Did God just create demons? No, they already existed. They fell from their state of grace, of their perdition, and they became demonic. And they followed after Hasatan, who was once called Lucifer. Lucifer is a title which means light bearer. And I could get more into that, but I'm not going to. But Satan, he became Satan. Lucifer was a title. Satan is a title. He fell from his office. And so when people say Lucifer is the devil, no, Lucifer became the devil and another was chosen to become Lucifer, which means the light bearer, which means the one who testifies of the Father and the Son. That's what Lucifer was before he fell. So anyway, and another was chosen to take his place. Anyway, we have 90 seconds left on the live streaming portion of the radio program. The guest call-in number for anybody who wants to listen to the rest of the show who is listening on their phone, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can also watch on Facebook and YouTube. Let's see here. All right, degrees of glory in heaven. A few of the texts describe the multiple heavens with magic passwords for each one. That's interesting. That was taken out of the Gnostic Gospels by Pagel, Introduction, page 35, Roman numeral. That must have been the introduction, like, you know, before page 35. Anyway, I don't know. Dr. Sidney B. Sperry, professor of the Old Testament Languages and Literature at Brigham Young University, was not too enthusiastic about the contents of the Dead Sea Scrolls. His first disappointment was in them was a lack of similarity to those texts which are used in our standard versions of the Bible. He said, despite the supposed antiquity of the scrolls, its text is inferior to the conventional Hebrew text that has come down to us. Improvement era volume 61, page 33. He was also disappointed that it was inferior to the conventional Hebrew text of Isaiah quoted in the Book of Mormon. Let me say something about the text of Isaiah quoted in the Book of Mormon. It is really unfortunate that the texts are the way that they are, because they are not what Joseph Smith had on the scroll. What is his name? The guy who printed the Book of Mormon, it's like right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember what his name was. Grandin. He took the manuscripts of what Joseph Smith translated off of the plates, and whenever it came to a quote of Isaiah in like 2 Nephi, Grandin actually went to his King James version of the Bible and just wrote it, or like put it down on there with the punctuation and everything. Because when they gave the manuscripts, when Joseph Smith gave the manuscript to Grandin, there was no capitalization. Everything was a run-on sentence, no punctuation, nothing. And so Grandin had to do all this extra work. Well, when he came to a place where he knew, because he was a Bible reader, he knew that that was Isaiah. He went and found it in the King James Version of Isaiah and just put it down as that in the Book of Mormon, which is not how they were on the plates. The plates were more pure translation. Joseph Smith later on in his life realized this, realized that there was a bunch of things that Grandin did to change things around, which were not right. And he was actually talking to a printing press in Cincinnati when they were in Nauvoo about reprinting the Book of Mormon as it had been done, or as it had been written down, but they never got around to it, and Joseph Smith was murdered. So, yeah, Isaiah in the Dead Sea Scrolls is not going to be the same as Isaiah in the King James Version, because translational errors have changed the text. That and Christians have gone in and they have changed things to make it more a slant more towards Yeshua or Jesus Christ, to make things seem like, oh yeah, this is talking about this and that's talking about that. And you know what? The Jews, they have their Isaiah still, and they read it and they say, that's not talking about that. Those Christians, they changed the text of the Tanakh. And that's one of the reasons why they will not convert. These Jews will not convert. All right. So anyway, continuing on, let's see here. Many Christian scholars think that the teacher of righteousness referred to in the scrolls was Yeshua, HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist, or Yochanan the Immerser, and that they were in Qumran for a period of time. Dr. Sperry feels that the importance of the scrolls has been highly overrated, and that their practical importance to Latter-day Saints is relatively small. Improvement Era, volume 61, page 49. However, as more information and translations of the text are being made available, the similarities that support the Gospels as the Mormons know and teach it is remarkable. Scholars and students around the world have been disappointed that more work has not been done towards making information from the scrolls available to the public. That's because they're hiding stuff, because they don't want people to know what's in the scrolls, because it would screw up everybody's theology, which irritates me to death. But that's what you get. You know, the devil's deceived the whole world, so why not all of us together, right? All right, scholars, public, hold on here. Okay, Dr. Theodore Gaster expressed the same feeling when he said only a fraction of the material recovered from the Qumran, or from Qumran, has yet been published, and after nearly 20 years, so relatively little has been made generally available, and quote the Dead Sea Scrolls scriptures. Preface, page XV, I think that's 15. Most of the research has been confined to a Skrull team who is very restrictive on what material is made available because they are covering things up. John Allegro also expressed his dismay at what has happened to the Skrulls. What has happened is even more disturbing than this partial boycott of the Skrulls on the part of Christian scholars is a cloak of secrecy that has hung over the acquisition and disposal of these vital and often most controversial documents since 1956. Skrulls have been secretly unearthed by the Bedouin, fleetingly glimpsed by specialists, and then allowed to disappear off the face of the earth, even when others from the same cache have early on been rescued by the prompt actions of the Jordan Department of Antiquities. And actually, that's who these scrolls belong to, Jordan, the nation of Jordan. They have lain hidden away in vaults in foreign-controlled museums for several years, and only the vaguest of information on their contents has been allowed to reach the outside world. When publication is eventually allowed by the trustees, it is on the extraordinary basis of selling those rights for vast sums of money to foreign institutions. Meanwhile, attempts are made to dissuade visiting archaeologists from joining expeditions to search systematically for more scroll caves, and the curator of museums come to Britain to tell television audience that such searches are best left to the illicit excavation of the Bedouin, who presumably can be relied upon to channel their discoveries through the museum for rich rewards. End quote. Dead Sea Scrolls, a reappraising, Allegro, page 414, or 92 of As It Is Translated Correctly. The Catholics had a piece of suppression in the manuscripts of the Bible from the common people, and now we see signs of something of the same thing happening regarding the Dead Sea Scrolls. It displays the folly of man through the ages, always arranging anything and everything for money, covering up the truth to support false traditions and superstitions, and above all, to protect his status. Jesus, or Yeshua, was aware of this only too well when the chief priests met in council to do away with him because he might take away both our place and our nation, as quoted in John chapter 11, verse 48. It is little wonder that the Lord has not given us more of these ancient records, old manuscripts, and new revelations. It is difficult to put new wine into old bottles, as has been stated in the past. John Allegro seems to be one of the few honest historians that had the courage to speak the truth as he knew it. The fact is that we know very little about the man Yeshua, or Jesus, or his background. The sayings attributed to him in the New Testament, Brit Hadashah, are mostly in translation context, full of allusions to a lost world of Jewish sectarianism, of which even now we are hardly aware. Here and there, the scrolls have enabled us to pick up a word or phrase which for the first time can be given its original import, but we have to acknowledge that a great deal has been lost in translation or early misunderstandings, perhaps irrevocably, end quote. Mysteries of the Dead Sea Scrolls Revealed by Allegro, page 175. Any genuine scholar with a correct understanding of the history of the scriptures would probably say about the same time, it stands to reason that if Christians today are to learn the true mission and teachings of Messiah, HaMashiach, they will have to depend more on the records accompanied by the principle of divine revelation, page 93. The portions of Dead Sea Scrolls have been exposed to the public have proved to be very informative and interesting, but to the Mormons, it is only another confirmation of their faith, the added warmth of familiar hearth to them the restoration of ancient records is only the fulfillment of God's promise that they shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 4. Such things are not surprising to the Mormons. They are expecting even more. That's the end of that chapter. When we come back tomorrow, hopefully, we'll be on chapter 8 of As It Is Translated Correctly, Apocrypha and the Canon of Scripture. So that's what we're going to get on tomorrow. And I will post these, like I said before, on Zion's Redemption bookstore page, complete with the links to the video on YouTube, which seems to be doing pretty well today, as well as the link to the audio on the radio show at Fundamentally Mormon at blogtalkradio.com, and also the text to what we're reading. So this has been part three of Dead Sea Scrolls in the book As It Is Translated Correctly, which you can find for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. Click on the main page where it says Read Ogden's Books. It'll take you to the page where all of the books are listed, and it is the first book, As It Is Translated Correctly. Thank you for listening to this podcast and this radio show. Take care, everyone. Shalom.